today we are going to continue our talk on the fruit of the Spirit. Last week, Anthony talked about goodness, and previously Tim talked about kindness, and Anthony made smoothies, and Judy didn't get one, and that was really upsetting, and I was going to bring her one, but she's not here, so I'm glad I didn't bring it. I would have had to drink it, so poor Judy. But he talked about showing kindness and goodness and kind of like the difference between just thinking about being kind and actually stepping into it and doing it as showing more goodness. Today we're going to talk about faithfulness. And last time I spoke on joy, I shared with you guys that Anthony said, hey, Ladina, can you share on these two things? And this one was kind of the last of the minute. He got called to help another church in Washington today. And so he's there sharing and helping out with some things. But he asked me if I could share on this. I'm like, this one I really struggle with. He's like, good, just like he did with joy. And so have I mastered faithfulness? No. Am I working on it? Yes. So I'm just like you. I am pretty vulnerable and pretty open. I'm going to share some things with you today that just real stuff and real tangible ways that we can practice faithfulness as believers and how we can get that going. If we were going to kick off with our verse that we've been talking about this whole time, and it's Galatians 5, 22 through 24. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so talking about fruit of the Spirit, talking about faithfulness, I wanted to kind of go over what does faithfulness mean. So I'm going to read the dictionary meaning of faithfulness here. And then while I'm reading this, I have some people that I've asked to pass out some little pieces of paper. Just hold on to those. We're going to go over those together in a minute, but I'm going to have them pass those out to make sure everybody gets one. The faithfulness. So faithfulness is strict or thorough in the performance of duty, true to one's word, promises, vows, steady in allegiance or affection, loyal and constant, reliable, trusted, or believed. Adhere to true fact, a standard, an original, accurate. And so reading this definition of faithfulness, it really got me thinking of like, what is this? What is faithfulness? How does this apply to me as a Christian? How is this worked into this fruit of the Spirit thing? And I found this faithfulness examination questionnaire. So on the front, it says, it's kind of hard to read. It's kind of dark in here. But it says, faithfulness self-examine questionnaire. And I want us to read through these. And you guys obviously aren't going to have time to fill these out right now. But I really want to encourage you guys to take time to do this week, because we need to be truthful with ourselves of where we're at and also be honest with God. Hey, this is where I'm at, God. He's not going to be like, you're in trouble, straight to hell for you. He's not going to do that. That's not the God that I serve. He's a loving, caring, kind, faithful God, and he loves us so much. And so I'm going to read over this faithfulness self-examination questionnaire. And the first one is just, how loyal am I to God? Does my faith place God as first priority in my life? That's, for me, it's like, ooh. And then how does it do that? Number two says, what obstacles are there to my faithfulness? So what's getting in the way? Why do I have difficulties trusting God? And number three says, am I satisfied with spiritual evidence, or do I always depend on physical evidence for my belief? Can I just be real with you that that's something that I struggle with? It's hard for me sometimes if I don't have that physical assurance. I sometimes need that. And I know some of us are wired that way, where it's like, hey, that's great, Ladina, but I need to see the proof. And the last one says, what areas of my life are not completely faithful to God? How can I change them? And so I want us to be thinking about this as we're going over today's message and just kind of really examining our hearts and where we're at, because I think it's important for us to move forward. We have to be real, and we have to get rid of all the crap that's in the way, sorry, it's true, before we can move forward. And so I'm going to read Matthew 7, 15 through 20, and I know we've talked about this before, and I'm pretty sure I actually talked about it before, but God really was like, pressing on me that why it's so important to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Why is this such a big deal? In Matthew 7, it or 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothes, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Verse 16, it says, "You will recognize them by their fruits." There it is. It's important to know about the fruit of the Spirit so that we can be aware and we can see what's going on around us. We have to be diligent. We have to be on lookout. We have to guard our fellow believers, ourselves, against those who would desire to devour us or are wolves in sheep's clothing. It says, continuing on verse 16, it says, "Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" Verse 17 says, "So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but diseased trees bear bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." And so Jesus says that two times. You're going to recognize them by their fruits. And just like all the people that have shared on this message, we've been showing you guys and explaining and talking about how we can put this in our day-to-day living, how this looks in our Christian walk. I'm going to attempt to do that today, so I hope that's what comes across here. God's really just, like I said, pressing on me that why is it so important that we bear good fruit? Like I said earlier, you're going to know them by their fruits. You're going to know who they are. You're going to be able to see, oh yeah, they're a fellow believer. Look at the faithfulness of that person. Look how much joy they have. You can see that. That's how it should be. That's how it should be for us. I'm going to talk about real quick, we've talked about this before, but I'm going to go over some kind of the bad fruit or the work of the fruit of the flesh, and that's found in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And so we talk about good fruit, we talk about bearing good fruit, and this is kind of the opposite of that, and we've talked about this a lot also. But I just kind of want to remind us of what that balance is. Like, that's when they're talking about bearing bad fruit. These are some of the evidence of bad fruit that we sometimes bear. And the Bible says you can't bear good and bad fruit. So we really do, as Christians, should strive to try to bear good fruit. Will we mess up? Yes. Will we screw it up and have to start over? Probably. But the point is that you're making steps forward and you're in that process and you're digging in and you're actually saying, "God, I'm committing to this process. I'm committing to this decision." And I just believe God is calling us today, and his presence has been so powerful here already this morning. I really believe he's calling us to kill the bad fruit in our lives and start cultivating a lifestyle of good fruit. Start cultivating that good fruit that he wants us to bear so that we can be used to reach others. Because bottom line, that's what it's all about, is us reaching others. That's the bottom line. In Galatians 5, 24 through 25, it says, in verse 24, it says, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And so here they're talking about crucifying the flesh, which is all those things we just read. And it's not easy. Our flesh, our natural desire is to do opposite of what God wants. That's what happened in the garden. I'm going to tell a really funny story. Is my son, David, he's a character, and he got in trouble. I know it's a big surprise for most of you. He got in trouble, and you're sitting in the car driving to a birthday party, and he goes, "Well, Mom, it's not my fault." I'm like, "What are you talking about? You made the choice. This is your consequence. It is your fault." He's like, "No, Mom, it's not. I mean, Adam and Eve ate the fruit. They sinned first. It's their fault, Mom. I can't help it. I can't help it," you know? And I'm like, "No, it's... that's not how it works." So our natural desire, even from a young age, we know that our natural desire is to do opposite of what God wants. We, our body, our flesh, our worldly desires desire that. And it takes work. It takes dedication. It takes commitment for us to do opposite of that. And it's not easy because we're getting things thrown at us every day. Every day it's a battle for some of us, me included. Verse 25 says that if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. This is hard for me. I mean, it's a daily struggle. Some of you guys know that we're tiny living right now and trailer with three kids. Yes, I find joy in it, and yeah, but it's hard. It's not easy. And many days I'm like, kind of stepped out of the Spirit there. Whoops, God forgive me, kids forgive me. You know, we all have that thing, so we have to be consistent. And I have to remind myself. Last 2 weeks, Trina's been reminding me every morning, was that kind? Is that your kindness? Is that your goodness showing, Ladina? Are you being kind, Ladina? Every week, I'm not lying, she does. So it's good. God uses her to remind me to get back in the Spirit. So that's what we're called to do for each other. So God has really been pressing us. And when we talked about this message we were doing in this series, God told us, you know, hey, I want to talk about fruit of the Spirit. And so I think that he wants the best for us. He doesn't want us to live a life of just so-so, like not having the best of the best. God desires for us to have the best of the best. And just as I've been talking, it's not overnight. It's not like, oh, phew, I got done with church. I got all my fruit down. I'm good. I'm great. Good job. It's a process. It takes time. And sometimes we want things instant. We live in an instant world where it's like, I'll have this, this, and this in 5 seconds. And if you don't, I'm going to be real upset. If we have to wait any more than like 5 minutes in a line, we get so irritated and people get so upset. And sometimes I just kind of like to stand back and watch people get so mad for waiting. And then sometimes I'm that person, so you have to be careful there. But we want things overnight. We want to have it now. But that's not how it works. God says, you know, it's going to take time. We need to work these through in our life. The Bible says to work out our own salvation. We need to work it out. We've got to practice these things so that we can have the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control. We need to work those things out. So when I was reading this and I was thinking about faithfulness and I was just kind of praying about it, I really wanted to look at like God's character. The Bible says that we were created in the image of God. And it doesn't mean that we all look like God. It means that we were created in his image, his character, and some of his characteristics. And one of them is faithfulness. And so we're going to read some verses about God's faithfulness and kind of what that looks like. In Lamentations 3, 22 through 23, it says, I'm going to read this one, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is Jeremiah the prophet. He was talking and telling Israel, he was talking about God, his faithful. He's always faithful. His mercies never cease to come to an end. They're new every morning. We kind of talked about that when I was talking about joy, but great is your faithfulness. In Exodus 34:6, this is Moses here in this passage, and it says, in verse 6, it says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God of merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Again, God is faithful. He has faithfulness. He's going to keep us. He is faithful. And then in Psalms 143:1, it says, Psalm of David, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness. In your faithfulness, in your righteousness, God. God hears your cries. He hears your pleas. He knows what you're going through. He wants us to remain faithful, even when it's hard. Just keep trusting in him. Keep pressing in. Keep going. There are tons of references in the Bible about God's faithfulness. And the Old Testament is just full of story on story on story of how God proved himself, how he was faithful to his people, even when they messed up, how he brought them back every time. It never stops. And it doesn't stop now. It doesn't end at the end of the Bible. It continues to go. Looking at faithfulness, there's layers of faithfulness. And so today I'm just going to talk about a couple of the layers. And the first one is trusting God. And the second one is remaining faithful. But I want to focus right now on trusting God. Because I don't know about you, but for me, trust is something that has been abused in my life. It has been burned in my life. And I have a hard time trusting people. You feel like every time you put your trust in someone, they're going to let you down. Well, of course, because they're human and humans let us down. We mess up all the time. But sometimes we take that human limitation and we place it on God's, the expectation we have of God. And we hold God to that same standard, and we think that just because we were let down by this person, God's going to let us down. And it's easy to do that. I do that. I fail at that every day. I'm like, okay, how is this going to happen? How is this going to work? How is this going to work? But God is always faithful for me, for my family. So we need to remember that God is not human. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to forget about us. It may feel like we're alone, but you're not alone. He wants you to know that he is there. We need to remember God said that he loved us even when we were sinners. He sent his son to die for us. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one." So he's going to protect us against the evil one. He's going to protect us against things in our life. And some of you guys need to hear today that there's a whole lot of hell that God is guarding you from right now. And you may not even know it. You may feel like you're going through stuff right now. You may feel like you're alone. You may feel like there's no one that knows what's going on. But God is there. And he's holding back things that we don't even know. I can look in my life and see God, like, oh my gosh. He like saved me from disaster. And you may feel like you're just floundering or that you are just have no purpose. But God is here today and he wants you to know that he is there with you. He is walking beside you. And he wants you to be faithful to him. Same way he is faithful to you. He is faithful to us even when we are faithless. So I'm in that boat sometimes. I'm right there. In 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13, it says, "The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we also live with him." Talking about Jesus. "If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." So that we can rest in the fact that he is always faithful. And that's good news, because like I said, I struggle sometimes with being faithful. I struggle with that. I don't struggle with knowing that Jesus died for my sins. I know that he did that. I struggle with the day-to-day stuff, the fruit that I'm supposed to be bearing of faithfulness. I struggle with that sometimes. How is this going to work? How am I going to keep my kids safe when they're at school and going into middle school? That's scary. How am I going to keep my daughter like pure and safe and away from all the bad middle school things? How am I going to do that? How am I going to keep my finances? How am I going to do this? How am I going to keep my relationships faithful? How am I going to do all this? And God is like, dude, chill. I got it. Be faithful to me, and I will work it all out. And I know that's like, okay, Ladina, seriously, though. He's like, Ladina, shut up and sit down, and let me prove my faithfulness to you. What I want you to do, be faithful to me. Take time for me. Spend time with me. Be faithful with your word, with your friendships, with your family, with the job that I've given. You be faithful to the things that you be faithful to, and let me worry about the things that I need to be faithful to. So we're going to jump down to 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It says, "He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." Just another reminder. And we have a lot of scripture today because I just want you guys to see God's word is like, he is faithful. God's word is true. If you have no faith in nothing else, you need to know God's word is true and it does not lie. We're going to reread Lamentations again because there's a question at the end that I want to pose to you as we read this. It's Lamentations 22 through 23, and it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And they're talking about God. So God is faithful. And I think the question we have to ask ourselves that we don't want to ask, and we've been kind of skirting around, is, will I be faithful? Will I be true to him? Will I trust him? Will I be faithful to him as he is to me? Or to us? So am I going to trust God? Am I going to be faithful to God with my life, with my finances, with my giving, with my family? The Bible says in John, 1 John 9:10, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." So we see that we can trust him with our life. But are you going to take that next step after we've received Christ and we're following him? Are we going to trust him being faithful with our money? Are we going to be obedient and tithe and give as God calls us to give? Or are we going to be stingy and hold on to it because we don't want to not make it? Are we going to be faithful and trust God in our job that he's given us? Are we going to do our very best and work as we're working to the Lord like we're called to do? Or are we just going to half do it, get by with what we can, go in late, come in late, half do the assignments, half do what we need to do? Or are we going to actually do our best? Are we going to be faithful with our relationships? Are we going to give our word and then be like, oh, sorry, I can't, or back out or not be faithful? I really think that that's something our society in today is lacking, is just this faithfulness, this being true to your word, doing what you say you're going to do, being trustworthy, being faithful. And we need to ask ourselves, are we going to do that? The next thing that we're going to talk about, the next layer of faithfulness, is remaining loyal to him. No, it's fine. It's a really good song. But remaining loyal to him. God desires good things for us, and we need to be faithful to him and put our trust in him. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. So God requires us to be faithful. We need to be faithful with our giving, with our job, with our relationships, with our wife, with our lives. All those things. We need to be faithful in all those things. And it's hard. It's not easy. I know it takes work, but that's what we're called to do. And so I'm going to read some Psalms and Proverbs, and then we're going to kind of apply some things and wrap it up here pretty soon. In Psalms 119:30, it says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I will set your rules before me. And so remember, this is the layer of remaining faithful to God. So this is the us being faithful to God. In Proverbs 3:3, it says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them on your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And in Proverbs 14:22, it says, do not go astray who devise evil. So like who plan evil. Don't go astray with those. But those who plan good meet steadfast love and faithfulness. So these are all like warnings and commitments that we need to make as followers of Christ. And when you want to give up, press through. And I say that a lot because some of you guys know and some of you don't know that, you know, I struggle with anxiety and depression. And this last week has been so hard. And I have just wanted to, like, throw in the towel and run away to the hills where no one can find me, away from my family, away from my job, away from everyone. I just wanted to get away. And I just wanted to leave it all because I'm just so sick of it. I'm just so tired. Nothing's working out. I just can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so I've been there. I know what that feels like. But can I just tell you that I am going to choose to be faithful. I'm going to choose to be faithful to God. What keeps me is my faithfulness to God. What keeps me faithful to where God has me is my faithfulness to God. To my family, it's because I have my faithfulness to God. My friends, my kids, my job is because I have my faithfulness to God. And I know that God is there, and I know that he has gone through hell to save me and to turn it around and be faithful to me. And so no matter what I'm going through this week, I know that it's going to pass as long as I can just focus on being faithful to God. I may not be able to handle the load that I'm carrying right now, but you know what? I'm not meant to handle it myself anyways. Because I'm supposed to be faithful to God, and being faithful to God means trusting him with it, and that means letting him carry it for me when I can't carry it. That means me asking a friend, hey, I'm struggling right now. Can you please come help me? Now, we never do that, and especially when you're in those moments, you want to be alone, you don't want anybody to know, it's like a big secret, but that is such against what God wants us to do. We are a family here. We want to be faithful with our friendships, which means we cry out for help, we call out for help, and if you're a faithful friend, you say, here, Lydia, let me give you your hand. Take my hand and let's go. Let me walk with you through that. And so as we close this service, I want to go through some practical ways because I really want you guys to leave this building knowing how you can practice faithfulness today. And so on the back of that paper, we're going to go through some ways that we can practice to grow in faithfulness. And so these are just some practical steps that you guys, we're going to read together. And so the first one is write out a list of reasons you believe what you believe and why. If you're lacking in spiritual evidence in some areas, you can study, pray, meditate about those areas where maybe you're weak in faith. You can ask questions. There's no stupid questions. Remember and think about God's faithfulness in every area of your life. Remember the times God was faithful, because those will help carry you through the times where you don't seem to see it or you can't see it right now. Protecting and providing for us, for God has given us forgiveness of our sins, promising us eternal life, his coming kingdom and peace. We can let his faithfulness inspire our commitment to be faithful. The last thing is, make God and other people a priority in our lives. How? We can make a list of our relationships and commitments and then honestly evaluate others on how faithful we have been. Any unfaithful behaviors and practices have to be eliminated from our lives. So these are some good reminders of ways that we can get rid of unfaithfulness and practice faithfulness. So faithfulness is more than just being there for someone. It's total commitment and loyalty to God that flies in the face of human reasoning. We may easily believe in God, but it takes faithfulness to actually believe his teachings enough to have it change our lives. And I'm going to say that one more time. It says, faithfulness is more than just being there for someone. It's total commitment and loyalty to God that flies in the face of human reasoning. We may easily believe in God, and I find that to be true. I believe in God. But it takes faithfulness to actually believe his teachings enough to change our lives. So I don't want you just to sit here today and be like, great word, Ladina, and not do anything with it. I want to be challenged. I want you to take a challenge today that I'm going to give you guys and actually follow through with this week and look through these things and actually study faithfulness. Have I been faithful? Am I faithful? God, do you see, am I faithful to you? Have I been faithful to you, to my relationship with you? And so this challenge today, as the worship team joins us on stage, is think about ways you can show your faithfulness to God. Are there things getting in the way of your faithfulness? So what are some things that maybe you needed to pluck out? What areas of your life have you not given over to him? Spend time in prayer. Ask God to make these things clear to you so that you can grow in your faithfulness. And today as we wrap up with worship, I just want us to really press in today. I feel like God is calling us out of this area of complacency into an area of being firm and moving forward and stop being stagnant. Some of you guys in here maybe struggle with being faithful or having faith even. But today I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you to step into what God has promised through his word, that he is faithful even when we are faithless, that his mercies are new every morning and his steadfast love, and he is going to remain faithful. And that he can't deny himself. He is going to stay faithful when we are faithless and when you struggle. God, as we close the sermon today, God, in this message, I just pray that you will begin to wreck us, God. Wreck us with our unfaithfulness. Convict us, God. I know that's crazy to ask for that, but God, if we don't have that, we can't have change. If we don't see where we need to make changes, God, we can't actually change. God, I pray that you will bring people in our lives this week, Lord, that will challenge our faithfulness, that will challenge us to make decisions, Lord, to be faithful to you, or are we going to let things get in the way? God, I pray that we will be a people that will be a faithful people, that will be somebody who people see and like, oh, they are, look how faithful they are. Not so we could get the glory, God, but so it always gets brought back to you, so we can share of your love and your grace and who you are. God, we just thank you for today, and be with us, God, as we worship you in song. In Jesus' name.